Well, good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Let me get all the buttons pushed here. It is Thursday, March 7th. Welcome to March 2024. I want to thank you for joining us, and we'll be back next Wednesday night with the Wednesday night prayer meeting. We're in the middle of printing Volume 3 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter, and so I had some issues with that. Couldn't get back to the Radio Ranch on time for the prayer meeting, but we'll kick that back in next week, and we'll be getting another prayer chain out. And we had some of the Remnant call and text for prayers, and know that we've prayed for them and already got a praise report of a healing, and so that is good. And we continue to pray, knowing that our God hears our prayers. Well, thanks for joining us. We're going to open up with prayer. Well, not always, but we sure do our best to do that. I think that's one of the best ways to open up and to start anything. And well, Lord Jesus, thank you. We do. I ask you to join me here at the Radio Ranch microphone to, Lord, give me the words to say, the thoughts to think, the things to share with your remnant that will encourage them, maybe open their eyes, maybe give them a little, some tools or ammunition to help spread the gospel to others, to help others, to help open others' eyes. Again, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, your word is true. You call the weak and the foolish. And so, Lord, I feel qualified to be here because of that. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the years, Lord, of work and dedication that our pastor put into enabling us to do this, to continue to do this today. Thank you for the years and the faithful support and prayers and financial support from the remnant over the years, Lord, that continue, that were seeds planted, Lord, that continue to bear fruit, that continue to have truth available for those that seek truth, for those that stand at the door and knock and desire to know truth, Lord, and have turned away from the lies of this world. Direct me tonight. I pray your blessings, Lord, on myself and also on the remnant, Lord, that are out there. Thank you for those that listen and support us. Thank you, Lord, that, well, I guess there's still 10 righteous, or we would be as Sodom. And so we thank you for those, Lord, that love you, that look to you for health, safety, and welfare, and that desire to serve and to honor you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And again, Remnant, welcome. First Thursday in March. And have there ever been more exciting times? I don't think in my lifetime. I don't. I think back to, it was probably pretty exciting during World War II and some of the other worldwide conflicts, and it seems like we're fast approaching those things. It was pretty exciting 7 years ago when we had the, remember what it was called? The Great American Comet. Or no, the Great American Eclipse, I think. Isn't that what it was called? I've got some notes here. Let me see. I think I highlighted it. I think that's what they called it way back then. Yeah, the Great American Solar Eclipse. I remember that. And it was all over the news. And they had, for months, they had the little eclipse glasses you could get and just tons and tons. Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. It's in my notes. And it's coming up in April. We've still got a little bit of time to prepare for that. But there's more going on. Oh, the State of the Union tonight. We'll have to talk about that Saturday morning, I think, because it's still ongoing, and I don't have any way here. We don't have cable TV or anything. I don't have any way to watch it, or don't care to. I'll take a look at some of the highlights or lowlights over the next couple days, and I'm sure we'll be able to talk about it Saturday morning, I hope. But plenty going on. How's those that Biden economics working out for you, folks? Everybody I've talked to, how do I put this? Of all the people I've talked to and asked, it ain't working out for anybody good. Gas here has gone up $2.99 a gallon, and I understand we might still be on the low end across the nation. $2.99 a gallon, and so when you're driving, that takes a big bite. Saw this report today. A single meal out at Five Guys. Now, I've eaten at Five Guys before. There's one down in Colorado, and they've got a. If I'm going to eat a burger out, they've got a pretty decent burger. They do. Saw this. It was $24 for a burger, fries, and a drink at Five Guys. Not the jumbo maximum supersize, not the buy two, get two, no. Just burger, fries, and a drink, $24. Who can afford that? I can't. Who can afford that? It is, this economy is crashing. And we've talked about it before, it's almost like the emperor has no clothes. And everybody realizes it, but, well, they just kind of go along with it. That's kind of the best we can do right now. Just, well, you know, maybe they'll figure it out eventually kind of thing. What a mess. Saw this report coming out of the Atlanta metro area, and it really hits home. You know, you would like your children to be able to grow up and afford a home, to be able to have a good job. And, of course, to honor God and to love God first and foremost, but to have a good job, to be able to start a family, maybe to start off in a starter home. That's what my wife and I did 37 years ago, coming up on 38 this year, next month. But that's what we did. We were able to start off in an affordable starter home, and that's been part of the American dream, part of the Americana for years. You know, you would get married, maybe start having a family, save up some money, put a little down payment on a little home, and maybe keep it for a few years, pay some down on it, and then as time went on, maybe you got to upgrade, move to maybe as you saved a little money, made a little more money, moved to a bigger house, nicer neighborhood, that type thing. But the starter homes have always been a big part of Americana. Well, that is just no more. Interest rates being what they are, starter homes in the $300,000 and $400,000 range, $500,000 range. Now, maybe I'm just out of it, but again, the people I talk to, the people, my circle of friends and acquaintances in town and what little traveling I do and whatnot, that is just, for a starter home, $395,000, it's out of reach for most people. So I see this out of Atlanta metro area today, and it's, I think, symbolic of most metro areas. 11% of all the single-family homes in the state of Georgia for rent, 11% of them are owned by three companies. Three companies. Invitation Homes, Premium Partners, also Progress Residential, they're known as that, and Amherst Holdings, who's also works as Main Street Renewal. And you may think, well, those are low numbers, that's no big deal, but what that does is, see, all of those starter homes are set up for rental and lease, and not where people like me and probably you, or at least our children, as they're maybe finishing school, beginning their careers, maybe they've worked for a year or two, or however that works out, whatever point they're at, and ready to step into beginning what we call home ownership. I understand about not owning and taxes and those things. But that's always been a part of Americana, kind of the American dream. And it's just not there anymore. It's not. I know of some young couples that have been able to get into homes, but I can tell you it was with much, much financial help from the parents. I know some others that have scrimped and saved, and certainly a two income home. You would call it a both of them being professionals, engineer type things, and making good money, and were barely able to get into a starter home, still in the $300,000 range. And I've known a couple others that have picked up what you might call fixer-uppers, foreclosure type things that, anyway, I didn't want to get into real estate, but I just, it's my wife and I, when we got married almost 38 years ago, we had some friends. Their parents were moving. They were selling their little house, maybe 2,000 square foot house. I don't think it was like two small bedrooms and two baths and a little dining room and eat-in kitchen type. It wasn't big at all, probably 1,600 square feet. And we were able to pick that up for $50,000. Now, again, 38 years ago. But it wasn't in the fancy part of town. It was out, you know, just out on the outskirts of town. And nothing fancy, just a plain Jane house. But it certainly served our needs. And it worked for us to start a family in and so forth. And it's just that's not there. See, that's part of this Babylon falling. It's another part of it. It's another way of the driving up the prices to where the starter homes are just out of reach for most people. Now, if I've got this wrong, if I'm just looking at it through my rose-colored glasses, you might say, give me a call, correct me. Send me a note, an email, or whatever. Let me know. The phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. We see home prices, especially here, this Colorado Front Range. That's, of course, the number one growth spot in the nation for the last few years. And home prices and taxes have just exploded here. They have just gone crazy. Anyway, again, I just mention it because we're seeing this more and more. These investment companies that are many times have heavy foreign investment in them because the dollar's been down and all the foreign currencies have been up in relation to the dollar. And so many of them are doing that. They're investing. They're driving these prices up. Meanwhile, we're paying $3 a gallon of gas, $24 for burger, fries, and a Coke. And we just keep bringing them in from the southern border. Come one, come all. Come on in and call your buddies back home in Venezuela and tell them to come on as well. That's what's going on. That is exactly what is going on. We've seen that in interviews, that they interview these illegals. Am I supposed to say newcomers to be politically correct? Well, I'll be blasted if I'm going to do that. I'm not going to at all. They aren't newcomers. They're illegal invaders. If you want to become an American citizen, you come to this country legally. We have laws. And so follow the law and become a naturalized citizen. And if there's a long line, wait in line. That's just how it is. We've talked to you about Denver, how they have, oh, they say they've taken like 35,000 of these illegals over the last 4 years, and they're running out of money. They have nowhere to house them. They're having to cut city services, city employees' hours. There were some that they just cut to zero. Oh, they didn't have any layoffs. They just would tell you, you have no hours scheduled for the next 6 months. How about that? We didn't lay you off. We're not firing you. We just have no hours for you and no pay and no benefits for the next six to 8 months. No hours. Well, now Denver begging. That was the headline today. Begging area landlords to take in illegals. Oh, and by the way, we have a rent cap of $2,000. See, the city will pay for them. The city will pay. If you've got a place you can rent out down in Denver, of course, that's about half of what the rent would go for in the inflated market that's down there. But if you can take $2,000 a month, the city will pay you to take these illegals in. They literally are begging. But they're trying to get them to work, they said. Bless their heart. They've granted work permits to 1,300 illegals in the last year. Work permits to 1,300. So they want to have housing for them so they can work and not pay taxes and send their money back to Guatemala for more illegals to come here, and we keep paying for it. And I'm the crazy one thinking that that's absolute insanity. Got this quote from the Denver mayor. He said, Denver citizens are just going to have to, quote, plan for shared sacrifice. Okay? It's called communism, socialism. Plan for shared sacrifice. You think that governor, you think that mayor's going to take any illegals into their home? You think they have rental properties that they're going to cut their rent in half or in third to rent out to illegals and let the city pay for it? Huh. No. No. They're not going to. But, you know, there's little towns. One thing that it is doing is it's causing towns around Denver. You know, Denver's a heavy metro area. Fort Collins and LaPorte, where the church are, almost 2 hours north of Denver proper, but tons of small towns all around. Monument, Colorado is the third small town within just a couple hours of Denver that voted, that said, no, we are not going to be a sanctuary city. You are not going to send busloads of those illegals here. We'll stop you at the county line. We're not going to take them. And Monument, Colorado, is about, an hour out of Denver. They are the third that I've seen, the third little town that has voted to do that. And I say, good, at least it's getting some people's attention. You know, keeping on, again, the phone lines are open. I've got some Eclipse stuff I want to talk to you about. We'll get to that here in a minute. Pretty amazing stuff. But these current events are just, they're just crazy. We talked Sunday morning. California was expecting record snow again up in the Sierras, and they got it, 10 foot of snow. You know, they got record snow last year, and new records were set this year with the snow. How about that? And anyway, I think these little towns around Denver, they're seeing what's happening in Texas, the Texas teen that was killed last year by the illegal invader. And the Lake and Riley story, the nursing student in Georgia that was killed by a illegal alien invader that had prior records, had been picked up, was guilty, slapped on the wrist and just let go. See, it's lawlessness. And when you have leaders, that promote lawlessness, those are not Romans 13 leaders. You got to remember that. Romans 13, the leader has to obey God just as much as I do. And when the leader and the leaders and the elected officials have turned away from that, well, then it's tyranny. Then you're back in the 1770s, just like our forefathers, and how they looked at King George and how they rebelled and did not do what he said to do. And I think that as we see these towns stepping up, that that's a part of that. In saying, no, we're not taking these illegals. They don't want to be like Washington State, where you had a three-time charged, three-time sent back out of this country, a fourth-time illegal alien, a black illegal alien with prior arrests, prior convictions, kills 27-year-old white state trooper. Well, dang it. You're not supposed to do that. We're going to slap you on the other wrist and turn you back out on the town. It's lawlessness. It's anarchy. It's the planned destruction of what we have left of this Christian America. It's a planned destruction. We heard it a few years ago. It was called change. Do you remember hearing that? You remember hearing that from President Obama the first? Change. We're here to bring change, folks. Yay, change. And now it's build back better. Well, see, they don't tell you they've got to destroy everything that's there so those dirty birds that steal, kill, and destroy can build back better for them. But better for them is not better for us. It's just that's. I think that's how I see it anyway. These little towns around Denver, and it's happening all over the country around these liberal towns, that these huge liberal metro areas like Denver that, oh, they, you know, for the last 4 years, oh, they've just loved, send us, you're tired, you're poor, you're hungry, you're illegals, we'll... You know, and the government, the feds have been writing checks for it, and the Democrats think they're just getting more votes for it, and they're appealing to these idiotic people that think it's a good thing to bring all these illegals in and house them and help them out and extend a helping hand to them, blah, blah, blah. They just don't want it in their backyard, and that's what these little towns are saying, is we're not going to have it. We don't want a Lake and Riley. We don't want our nursing students killed while they're jogging in broad daylight. We don't want their head bashed in by these illegals. We don't want our state troopers killed by four-time exported, four-time prior convictions, prior offenses, illegal aliens. We don't want that here. We don't want our teenage cheerleaders killed by these illegals. And it goes on and on and on. And these three I mentioned to you, they're just the latest. A month ago, we talk about three or more, half a dozen more. 6 months ago, a year ago, we talk about a dozen more. These are just the latest of way too many. Folks, we're trying to give you ammunition, trying to remind you to help, to get people to think, to get people to open their eyes, to see that this Babylon, this system, this mess of this open border is the emperor that has no clothes. And finally, more and more people are waking up to it and saying, hey, wait a minute, this just ain't right. It's just not. It just is not. It just can't. Well, tell you what, let's have a song. We'll be back, and the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913, a little call, Carl Klang Classic. You can find his music online. Welcome back. And I think I got that audio fixed. I know the song glitched out for a second. I think I'm going to have to replace a cable. We've got a new mic. I think we've got some good audio going, but I think I got a bad cable with a short. So we'll work on getting that fixed before Saturday morning for sure. Thanks for letting me know. And I think we'll be good with that. But anyway, you know, New York, last couple of current events, I've got New York sending the New York National Guard and state police into the subways. So commuters, quote, feel safe. So they feel safe. Now, the National Guard, unless an emergency is declared, they really can't do anything except against crime. That's against the law. But they can be there. They can be a presence. And the state police and the subway rail authority, whatever that's called, blah, 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 they can do all that. But I thought that's interesting. They're going to have the National Guard get activated, get paid full-time to ride the subway to make people, and this is the quote, feel safe. Now, it doesn't say it's going to make them any safer, but they'll feel safer. And see, that's what it's all about. If you feel safe. Folks, this Babylon is failing. It is falling apart. And as God says, come out of her, my people. That's what it means to do that. To not embrace this. To open your eyes to this that is going on. What a mess it is. Well, springtime is an exciting time. It is. The solar year is wrapping up, right? We talk about that. I mean, we live by a calendar year. We do. We don't. That's just how it is. How it is in this captivity that we have. We have tried. I think that's one of the things that I see about the solar calendar, about the 91st days. These teachings that Pastor Peters brought out to his congregation in early 2001. The reinstating of the Passover, and how that all ties together, and how it is set up from the solar calendar, and how those that are those of Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 have changed time and changed the calendar to the lunar side. And has everything based on lunar, to where Easter, supposedly the celebration in the Judeo-Christian church world of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is based on the lunar. And it changes every year on our calendar. And that's just not how God is. God is a God of order. And these two eclipses that are going to make a big old X right across this country, that was put together before time itself, because that's how our God is. He puts these signs in the heavens, if you read the scripture, if you have eyes to see it, and he has always done that. And just like when he met with Abram on the way to Sodom, he said, you know, shouldn't I tell my friend, my servant, what I'm going to do? Should I keep that from him? And of course, that's when Abram argued with God. But anyway, that's a different story. But so in 2017, like I said at the beginning of the program, we had this great American solar eclipse. And it was marketed and it was pushed and prodded way back there in 2017. The great American solar eclipse. And it was the... Again, just a little background. It was the first total solar eclipse that was only visible in the United States and no other country since this country was founded back in 1776. Okay? That's why it was the great American solar eclipse. I saw this report. I thought it was pretty interesting. It says, while eclipses of this magnitude are rare occurrences. Scientists tell us if you stood in one place on Earth, you'd have to wait approximately another 360 years to see another total eclipse. Yet here we are getting a sequel 7 years later after the 2017 total eclipse. The proximity of time defies the law of averages, and we should most certainly consider that this is a sign to us from God. And that there's an intersection. It boggles the odds. The odds are just, I mean, they don't calculate them, okay? They just are not there. I'm just trying to think which way to go here. This new eclipse, we make a note of it in the Volume 3 Dragon Slayer newsletter. We are printing it, about a third of the way, I guess, maybe a fourth of the way through printing. So we'll be printing tomorrow and next week. Hopefully get it in the mail maybe Wednesday of next week. So I do hope you're on the free Dragon Slayer newsletter list. We'll get it the online available as soon as possible after we get this mailed out, but we'd be glad to mail it to you. And I think that it's a very interesting one. But these days that we're in, Remnant, from the current events that we continue to see to the turmoil in the leadership of our country to the, as Jesus Christ talked about in the Gospels, that he said you could see that when the sun rises, when it's red, or when it sets red, you're going to have storms, and you can tell the signs of the weather, but you can't tell the signs of the times. And I think that's a perfect summation of the Judeo-Christians today. But we are living in Bible days. This upcoming eclipse on April 8th, it is, you know, one thing is it's all but absent in the modern, in the current media. Again, the last time 7 years ago, for months it was being pushed. Because, it was the first one. This one, I think people in the know realize they don't want to make a big deal out of it. They don't. It's been 7 years now since the last full solar eclipse cast its shadow across our country back in 2017. And scheduled on April 8th this year, another full solar eclipse will again cast its shadow across this new JERUSALEM, the shadows will create a large X across our nation. And you know, solar eclipses are not caused by climate change, by greenhouse gases, or by the warming of the atmosphere. They're caused, they come from God Almighty. And God in the past has used eclipses to warn his people, to get people to repent. And NASA reports, I mentioned this I think Sunday morning, but I wanted to mention it. NASA reports that about 99% of the American people will see some part of this solar eclipse. Even in Alaska and Hawaii, they will see at least a partial. 99% of the American people. That in itself, I don't know of any people, Russian people, Jewish people, Alaskan people, Hawaiian people, American people, any people, that 99% of them will experience an event like this literally at the same time, within just a few hours as time goes on. That in itself, that is a sign from a patient and loving God. You know, even 9/11, when that happened, it was sometimes a couple of days before everybody figured out what was going on there and what had happened. That didn't just, even though it was televised live, I saw the second plane hit the tower. I know it's what I saw on the TV in Pastor Peter's office that morning. But still, it wasn't that 99% of the American people saw it happen when it happened. It just wasn't that way. And I tell you, God is sending signs to his people in his nation. And really, it's signs like were given to Nineveh. Jason mentioned this a couple weeks from the church pulpit. And I believe it's like what it says about Nineveh. It's signs to repent or perish. It's that simple. If you remember the story of Nineveh and Jonah in the Bible, the people of Nineveh, they repented when they heard Jonah. But, you know, there's a lot more. It wasn't that just they just heard Jonah. They worshipped the false goddess Ashtoreth and the false god Dagon. And Dagon, in old ancient whatever, had a man's upper body and a fish tail. So it wasn't that just they heard what Jonah said, but his story was, hey, we worship this god with a fish tail, and it was a fish that spit him out on the ocean. And then they say that when you look back in it, that there was also a full solar eclipse in Nineveh on June 15th, 763 BC. Again, I wasn't around then, but did a little research. We found this out. And so it's just, again, the story there was, you know, Jesus in Matthew 16:4 said, an evil and adulterous generation wants a sign, and so a sign will not be given to it except the sign of Jonah. Now, we understand that part of that Jesus saying that was just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, that the Son of God would be 3 days and then he would come forth. Now, we understand that that's a major teaching from that, but that's not the only teaching. The 2017 eclipse passed over seven towns, either partial eclipse or full eclipse, named Salem, which is short. That's the last five letters in the word Jerusalem. And we've talked to you before about the New Jerusalem versus the Old Jerusalem. And Pastor Emery even has a pamphlet on that. The New Jerusalem is not the Old Jerusalem. And so this year, there'll be a total of eight, either total or partial eclipses, occurring over eight locations named Nineveh. Seven in the country, in our country, and one in Canada on April 8th. From Nineveh, Texas, up to Nineveh, Nova Scotia. You can't make this up, folks. You can't make this up. And we didn't make it up. We're not trying to sensationalize this. We're not trying to build this into something it's not. We're just trying to share, well, how we see it. You know, Nineveh was an Assyrian city. They were not even, they were Assyrians. They weren't even Israelites. But they came to repentance. Jonah 3:10 talks about that. God saved them when they changed their way. Jonah 3:10, we read, it says, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their evil way, then God relented of the disaster which he had declared that he would bring on them. So he did not do it. Folks, what a parallel that we have there, a parallel teaching, a parallel story. America must come to national repentance to be saved. Her Christian people must change their ways before America can be saved. It's called repentance. America must repent before America can become great again. It is just that simple. There is no getting around it. There's not. It's just how it is. And there's much more. Looking at the clock, I'm running out of time tonight. You can look the intersection where the 2017 shadow from that full solar eclipse and the shadow from the 2024 solar eclipse that's coming up in just a month, next month, April 8th. They intersect at a place right there in, Cedar Lake in Jackson County, just south of Carbondale, Illinois. That area has long been called, or one of its nicknames, Little Egypt. Okay? There was slavery there when they weren't supposed to have slaves. There's several cities in the area named for ancient Egyptian places, Karnak and Cairo and Thebes. And this was interesting. One reason it's known, that area, as Little Egypt, is it said in the 1800s there was a famine in northern Illinois, but simultaneously there was a bountiful harvest in the southern part. So the people in the north compared themselves to the children of Jacob, who in time of famine were forced to go down to Egypt to seek food for their families. People from northern Illinois said the Carbondale region saved their lives because they provided grain. Thus, Carbondale became known to this day as Little Egypt. And that's where these two shadows of solar eclipses that are crossing and making a big X right almost in the middle of this country, that's where they intersect. A place that's called Little Egypt since the 1800s? Hello? Don't you think God is saying, McFly, hello? I'm trying to get your attention.
Anyway.
So what do we do? What do we do? I think we do our best to be ready. And we do not fear. We do not fear. In Mark 13:37 in the King James, Jesus Christ says, "And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Watch. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:4-6, we're told, "But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness." And what a privilege. What a privilege, remnant, and a responsibility that we have. But what a privilege to be not in darkness. It says so that the day would overtake you like a thief. See, we're not in darkness. We're not unaware. It's not that we've got it all figured out. It's not that we're perfect. It's not that we are anything great, but we're not in darkness. We're not in darkness. And that day will not overtake us like a thief. It says, "For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We're not of night nor of darkness. So then, let's not sleep as others do, but let's be alert and sober. Sober in thought. Sober in the days that we live in. Sober in believing what is going on, what is coming, or at least what might be." I saw another, see if I've got it in my notes here. I had printed several reports off, different news reports. See if I can find it. And it says that, and you can plug this into a date calendar. That's what this guy did. You plug it into a date calendar, and the time, you know, it's been about 7 years. We throw that out there. Oh, it's 7 years apart. Well, it's not exactly 7 years, but that's, you know, horseshoes, hand grenades, and solar eclipses. I mean, that's pretty close. If you plug in and I did it. I went to two different
date calculators and plugged it in. And if you plug in the date of the 2017 solar eclipse, August 21st, 2017, and then you plug in, this next one is April 9th, 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days apart, okay? Again, it's not just one sign. It's not just one sign. It's several, okay? It's several signs. And Revelation talks about that, right? Having wisdom. And Revelation 13, 18, I think, says, this calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666. Now, what exactly that is, I don't know. But to have two solar eclipses, to where the second one is twice as wide and going to impact three times as many people in totality, and 99% of the people in America are going to be able to see some part of it, and the time between the one 7 years ago and now was 6 months, 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days, that got my attention. Okay? Right or wrong, good or bad, it did. Now, I can tell you I'm not fearful. And, you know, I'll finish up with this. I'm running out of time. Luke 12, starting in verse 35. We'll finish up with this. Be dressed and ready for active service, and keep your lamps continuously burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that when he comes and knocks, they may immediately open the door for him. Blessed, this is from the Amplified, blessed, which means happy and prosperous, to be admired, are those servants whom the master finds awake and watching when he arrives. Does this remind you of the wise and foolish virgins? It should. Says, whether he comes in the second watch at before midnight or even the third after midnight and finds them so prepared and ready, blessed are those servants. And the last verse here, verse 40, you too be continually ready because the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Folks, I think this again is a warning. It is a call to repentance. To people that will read the word and believe the word of God. Well, folks, I'm out of voice. Thanks for tuning in, and keep us in prayer for this newsletter, that we get it done and get it out on time. And we invite you to join us for Coffee with the Wranglers Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. on the West Coast. Right here for Coffee with the Wranglers.